Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, April 25th, 2017. And with me today, I have Jeff Butts. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing really well. And Brian Chaffin, Master at Arms and Wordmeister. How are you?
I'm splendid. Thank you for having me today. It's so good to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. And I'm so looking forward to the musical episode when you're dancing around going, I'm Mr. Wordmeister. I'm Mr. Talk.
That's every day, brother.
I just wish that we had this podcast as a video podcast so people could see me jamming during the intro music.
You know, you're not the only person that has said that. Seriously. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Elgato's Eve Energy. It's a HomeKit compatible smart switch for all the stuff you need to control in your house, and that's pretty awesome. But before we talk about that, we need to talk about Uber. And Uber seems to be the company that everyone loves to hate. And apparently they've given people a new reason to hate them. And what's up with that, Brian?
Well, this apparently happened in 2015. So it's old news, but it only got reported. It's new news to us. It's old news to the participants. But apparently what Uber was doing was fingerprinting iPhones. And that's basically where they're attaching the hardware identifying information on an iPhone and tracking that in a way that goes beyond someone deleting the app, which happens to be directly against Apple's terms of service.
So wait, did I hear that straight? They were tracking you after you installed the app. Once you deleted the app, they were still tracking you?
No. They were remembering your iPhone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So basically, if someone were to, and they were doing this so that because they had, or they perceived that they had a fraud problem where people would just create new accounts to get referral bonuses. Okay. Right. So they wanted to be able to keep someone from just creating new accounts on the same device. And so to do that, they needed to fingerprint the hardware. And fingerprinting hardware is against Apple's terms of service because Apple is actually, gives a crap about our privacy. Mm-hmm. And to keep Apple from knowing that they were doing this, they were geofencing iPhones that they identified as being Apple employees, right? Because they know where all of Apple's facilities are. Mm-hmm. So when you take your iPhone into one of these facilities and you do it enough, they were saying, oh, that's an Apple employee. And then they were obfuscating the way the code behaved on those devices in an attempt to not be detected. Well, you know, guess what? It was detected.
So They did things that were blatantly against Apple's rules for apps
against
in the App
the
Store.
Spirit and the word.
And they knew they were doing it because they chose to intentionally obfuscate what they were doing.
Yes. Right. And so Tim Cook called Travis Kalanick into his office.
Oh, man, that's bad when you're the CEO of another company and you get called to the principal's office.
Yeah.
Yes. You get called to the principal's office. And it turns out when Tim Cook comes calling and your app utterly depends on the App Store for your company's ridiculous valuation, you go. And Tim said, I'm very disappointed in you. And that's not a quote. But, we know what you've been doing. Stop it or I'm going to yank your app from the App Store. And, you know, Mr. Kalanick, who has a long and storied reputation for being a dick, mm-hmm. said, OK.
Because at least he's a smart enough businessman to know that he was going to be screwed if he didn't.
Well, he's a very smart businessman. He just mm-hmm. he just constantly tries to cut corners and puts himself above any and all rules. And, you know, I wrote in my piece, there is a not wide, excuse me, a not fine line between being a disruptor and being a dick. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Uber over and over and over and over and over again shows that they are on the wrong side of that not fine line. I don't like it at all.
All right, so I'm definitely not cool with a company doing that sort of thing, tracking my device, and and knowing that they're doing something wrong, and finding ways to work around that. That's very uncool. Now I'm going to toss this out there just because I like to stir up the pot sometimes. Is it kind of creepy that Apple's in a position where they have control over whether your business fails or succeeds? Because that's kind of the case here with Uber.
Well, it is. But you know what? If Lyft were a better competitor, then maybe it wouldn't come down to this.
Sure.
I know of, you know, Uber. Uber's not huge where I live, but it's still pretty big. At any given time, there's five or six Uber drivers available for rides, compared to one or two for Lyft. And I use Uber simply because I have no choice, because Lyft just isn't available enough. And when I've talked to Uber drivers who also drive for Lyft, they tell me that Lyft software has so many bugs that half the time they can't get rides because the app keeps disconnecting them.
Oh, that's a problem.
Yeah, but how does that tie into Joe's question?
The fact that if Lyft were able to better compete with Uber,
So I think I get where you're going with this. If Lyft were a better competitor with Uber, then maybe Uber's success wouldn't be tied to whether or not Apple chooses to let their app be on the store.
Right. And maybe Uber would be, maybe more people would boycott Uber, until Uber straightened its act up, because right now, except in major metropolitan areas, I don't think people who need to use a ride-sharing service can boycott Uber. I sure can't, simply for that reason. Yes, it's creepy that Apple has that power, but Apple wouldn't need to exert that power if there was more competition in the ride-share sphere.
What do you think, Brian?
Fair enough. If you choose to do your business on the App Store, you are putting Apple in charge of your business. And the more of your business is on the App Store, the more you're putting Apple in charge of that. And I wouldn't call it creepy. I would call that a matter of fact.
All right. Then I wonder how many average users, businesses, of course, have to be aware of this if they're putting content on the App Store. I wonder for how many users this is kind of a wake-up call that this is just how it works. Apple has that level of control because that's how the App Store works.
Yeah. I would assume that every developer who's been kicked off the App Store understands that.
Oh, I shouldn't laugh because...
And it's a tricky spot for Apple to be in. I mean, you know, if today this wasn't the case in 2015, but today Uber is valued at a ridiculous $70 billion. I say ridiculous because they lose billions of dollars every year and don't make any money, don't show any signs of being able to make money. But nonetheless, they're valued at $70 billion, and if they were kicked off the App Store, that valuation would plummet to near nothing, because iPhone users are an incredibly important demographic for Uber.
Sure.
So yeah, that would be, I don't know, it'd be kind of interesting to see the lawsuits that would fly, possibly against Apple.
I of course there would be lawsuits everywhere. That's the world we live in today.
Question is, was Tim bluffing?
I doubt it.
I probably not. Kind of wish he'd done it, but whatever.
Yeah, Tim strikes me as the kind of guy that can be like really nice, a lot of fun to hang out with, someone that it would be really cool just to sit down and chat with. And then when you cross him, it just gets ugly, really.
Yeah, supposedly fast. His anger is very, very cold and quite quiet. That's the reports that I've gotten out of Apple on that.
Yeah, I can imagine being called into his office and, you know, the whole Uber thing. And there's Tim sitting there at his desk, just one finger tapping.
Mm-hmm. I'm very
disappointed in you.
Yeah. Plus, you know, I mean, that's the thing too, is that it's got a chap, a guy like Mr. Colin McHyde, to A, be called in like that. And, you know, to be the CEO of such a valuable company. And then, you know, to realize that you're callable.
Very callable.
Had to chap his hide.
Oh,
and to have to sit there and say, "I'm sorry, Dad."
Yeah, I don't know that he said I'm sorry.
Well,
I bet that would have been a great conversation to watch. I'd love to see Aaron Sorkin's version of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be an awesome scene when he does that movie. All right, so my take is that Uber didn't win any new customers with this latest revelation, even though they're not doing this anymore.
You know, no one cares. No one cares about Uber shenanigans. I mean, to wit, Uber is valued at $70 billion today. No one cares.
Well, and like Jeff said, in some places, there are no options. It's Uber is your choice, or you walk.
Or you pay 2 to 3 times as much for a taxi.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and the company Uber is no stranger to lawsuits. There was a new one that was just announced yesterday, I believe, over a new piece of software called Hell.
Yeah, it's just awesome.
Tracks Lyft drivers.
So Uber's tracking Lyft drivers.
Uh-huh. Yep, they're tracking Lyft drivers. They know which Lyft drivers are in a certain area at a certain time. They know which of their own drivers are double dipping with both Uber and Lyft.
That would be a lot.
And apparently they're potentially using that information to entice double dippers to go exclusive to Uber.
Well, you can't fault them for having aggressive business practices.
These tech kids in charge of these companies have not learned the difference between what they can do and what they should do.
Right.
I think you nailed it right there, Brian.
Yeah.
I mean, he's no longer a kid, and goodness knows he's a very talented young man, to an old fart like me, but Zuckerberg is like the poster child of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we're definitely in a new world when it comes to how big companies perceive us as the customer and perceive our value.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. My guess is that we'll be talking about Uber again at some point in the future because they have a really good track record of finding things to get people riled up and for us to talk about. So we'll be back to the Uber thing at some point. And hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Elgato's Eve Energy Smart Switch. And yesterday I talked about how I have one of these and I kind of move it around and try it with different things. Last night I moved it out of my office and into my bedroom where I have an air filter. And now I can lay in bed and tell Siri to turn the air filter on or off because I live in the future. So anyhow, what you can do with the Eve Energy Smart Switch, it just plugs into the wall. It connects to your Bluetooth, or excuse me, to your HomeKit setup through Bluetooth. So it's not on Wi-Fi, so that helps reduce the possibility of hackability, and it's not eating up any of your network bandwidth. And you can still control it remotely as long as you have a fourth generation Apple TV, because that's how you manage all of your HomeKit devices when you're not on your local network. And I just love that I can take things that otherwise are simple devices that you have to, like an animal, get up out of bed and go flip a switch to turn them on or off. And I say that kind of jokingly, because being able to do something like take off for the day and realize I forgot to turn off the air filter, no problem. I can do it from my phone. Or I can link it in with the rest of my HomeKit devices, and let's say that I get a poor air quality reading off of what my Elgato Eve room sensor that's in the room, because it does air quality readings. I can have that trigger through HomeKit my Eve Energy switch, and it turns on the air filter. So I think I found the new place for my Eve Energy switch to live. And it's great because it's easy to set up. It's easy to use, and you're spending under $50 for one of these things. So it's a pretty low entry point to get into and start experimenting with HomeKit and smart home devices. So I would love for everyone to go check this out. Head over to their website, elgato.com/TDO. That's elgato.com/TDO. And I've told you a couple of things that I've done with mine. I've also used it at one point to control my air conditioners, because I could link it up through HomeKit to my Ecobee thermostat. And anyhow, it's just an awesome thing. I'd love to know what you guys are doing with your Elgato Eve energy smart switches. Let me know, because if you have ideas that I should totally be taking advantage of, I want to do that. So head over to their website, elgato.com/TDO. Check out the Eve energy smart switch. And thank you to Elgato for being our sponsor today. All right. So before we wrap up, we got the news this morning that Carpool Karaoke, the series, which is the version of Carpool Karaoke that is going to be done as a 30-minute show streaming on Apple Music, it's been delayed. And it turns out this isn't the first time it's been delayed. It was supposed to launch in March. And days before they were going to have their premiere party, that was canceled. Moved to April. And apparently just a few days before the April launch, the premiere party was canceled. And now Apple is just saying later this year for the show. So it doesn't look like Apple's kicking off its original content shows on Apple Music in spring with Carpool Karaoke. And I have an idea about why that's happening. I'm curious, what do you guys think? Before I toss out my idea. No, oh, you want to hear my idea first? Okay.
Yeah. Duh.
My hypothesis is that they edited the shows together, and then they had a test audience that got to see them under a non-disclosure agreement, and the reaction was really poor. So they postponed the launch so they could go back and re-edit the shows to make them more compelling and entertaining. And now they had their audience look at them again and came back and said, yeah, we're not liking this. So they scuttled the April launch so that they can go back and re-edit yet again and try and turn the show into something that's compelling.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that's a possibility, or maybe they're just learning through their test audience and they haven't figured it out yet, that people don't like these shows in cars anymore.
No.
I don't think that's it.
Still very popular, man.
Yeah, Carpool Karaoke is like crazy popular.
It's also possible that they're simply running into, and I'm essentially echoing John Martellaro here from our morning meeting, but it is possible that they're finding that without the unifying presence of James Corden to anchor the show, that maybe they're having some consistency problems. We don't know for a fact that the issue is test reaction.
No, we don't. This is my speculation, but I'm betting that I've nailed it on this one.
It's also possible that Apple isn't even showing these to test audiences. I mean, Apple is a company notorious for not using focus groups.
That's possible.
This is a different industry and there's different people doing this stuff. So maybe that's not the case. Maybe you're spot on. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying we just don't know for sure that that's the case. But if the focus group is Tim Cook and Jimmy Iovine and you know, Phil Schiller and Eddie Q and, you know, the other executive team, and they just don't think it's funny, that essentially amounts to the same thing as what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, it could just be Apple executives watching this as opposed to a group of people that they selected specifically for watching. And, you know, and Tim has done carpool karaoke. So he may be watching these shows and saying, doesn't feel like what I experienced. Go back and fix it.
Yep. Could be. It could be. And it might, it's also possible it's not content related at all. It could be a strategic thing. It could be an issue of timing. Like they decide that they would rather launch it around this set of events or to co-promote this certain thing over here. There are definitely a lot of reasons why it could be. Not liking the way it looks is probably the best guess.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my guess until someone can give me tangible proof that I'm wrong.
Giddy up.
Giddy up. All right. And I'm still going to watch Carpool Karaoke when the series comes out because curious to see how it stacks up to the segment on The Late Show with James Corden.
Yeah, I agree. I like the segment. I think James Corden does a great job with it, and it's developed into just a fantastic idea that's lots of fun. Yes. Lots and lots of fun. And I'm going to be watching it when it comes out on Apple TV for sure.
Me too. And we'll see if I get through all the episodes. I'm a very fickle watcher.
Well, and that's the thing. It's fun for 3 to 5 minutes, right? Isn't that about how long it lasts on?
No, on the late show? Last up to 15 minutes.
Up to 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. I've never seen it go more than 3 to 5 minutes, but
yeah, some of them go a lot longer. Some of them, when you see them on YouTube, there will be edited versions, so you get the highlights.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and Apple better nail this because they need to come out swinging with their original content for
music. Yeah, that is very true.
Yeah. Hey, we're out of time, so we need to wrap up. Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us, man. It's been fun.
It's always fun with you guys on the show. Jeff, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And thank you to Elgato and the Eve Energy Smart Switch. It's HomeKit compatible. Thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, elgato.com/TDO, and check out that Smart Switch. I'm very pleased to have one myself. Listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.